Hi and welcome to Social Work Sorted, the podcast. I'm Vicky Shevlin, I'm your host and I founded Social Work Sorted, an online platform for newly qualified social workers. I'm an experienced children's social worker, previous child protection conference chair, and I started Social Work Sorted so that newly qualified social workers could connect theory to practice. My mission is to help you bring confidence and calm to your first year as a social worker. Because I know that when that happens, you are able to positively influence so many of the people around you, including the children and families that you work with. This podcast is all about practical guidance, realistic advice, and amazing insights from the wonderful guests that I have join me. So whether it's a bite-sized episode, something to reflect on, or an entire conversation for you to soak up, you are so welcome. If you want to know more about the ways I can help you as a student or newly qualified social worker, or even a workforce development lead, then make sure you go and have a look in the show notes, and I'll also be reminding you at the end of this episode. Before we get into it, just a reminder, if you find this episode or any of the other episodes helpful, please take 2 minutes to leave a rating, a review, get in touch with me, and share it with somebody else. I'm so grateful that this podcast is part of your social work journey. Hi, welcome back to the podcast. And in this episode, I want to talk to you about career options in social work and three questions that you can ask yourself if you are starting your career in social work or maybe thinking about making a change, or even if you are thinking about leaving social work. And this is really inspired by three seminars that I delivered last month at the Shared Futures in Social Work conference. It was in Birmingham. It was such an amazing day. I said about it a little bit on social media, but it was arranged by Kelly and the team at Social Work Today. There was a huge amount of local authorities, organisations there, all, you know, looking for social workers to join them. But it was also a day of CPD. So I was delivering around careers, but there were so really interesting seminars looking at practice in both children's social work and adult social work. Lisa Ann, who is a friend of this podcast, she's been on twice now, was there delivering her trauma-informed self-care seminar. And yeah, it was just a lovely day. I got to meet so many social workers. And yeah, the first person that I saw, actually, I'm going to give a shout out to, was Kerry, who said that this podcast is part of her weekly routine. And it honestly just made my day. And we'd obviously chatted to each other across Instagram, but actually to meet her and to meet so many of you who I've spoken to over social media but never seen in real life was just amazing. It was so, so good. Being in person is just always better. And although I am really passionate about fostering that kind of warm environment over social media, in my membership, when we have our private Facebook group, when we have our Zoom calls, you know, it is the next best thing to being there in person. And yeah, I think when I saw Kerry, I was like, can I hug you? Because it is just so nice to, yeah, meet so many of you. And I think the next event that they are putting on is the Social Work Show in Manchester. So watch out for that one, because I'll be talking about it more at the time. But if you were there and we didn't say hi to each other, then drop me an email, say hello. And to all the people that I met, thank you for chatting to me. It was so lovely. And there were so many students there. There were experienced social workers, newly qualified social workers, and there was just a really nice warm energy. That's how I would describe it. And I've been to events before where I haven't felt that energy, where things have felt quite cold or impersonable. And I don't know if it was the room, the layout, the people, probably a bit of everything. And there was also free tea and coffee, which I think is a really nice thing. And yeah, I think for social workers, it isn't just tea or coffee. It's that thing of, you know, care. And it really reminded me, I'm going to do another podcast episode on this as well, but I went to the Love Shows Up event in Camden, and they were talking about family group conferences, and so much of the success of some of the family group conferences was that they took place in circles, but often around food or around a meal. And the fact that there was this free tea and coffee there, I don't know, it just reminded me of the importance of food and drink as a mode of connection and community. And, you know, historically, it's so important to think about the way people connect over food and drinks. So yeah, that's my ramble about free tea and coffee, that it isn't just about the free tea and coffee. But yeah, it was such a lovely day. And so I delivered three seminars looking at the social work career journey, so thinking about applying for a social work job, then thinking about attending your social work interview, and finally thinking about making changes in your social work journey. And I want to take three questions, so one from each of those seminars, looking at applying, interviewing, and the next stage, just to support you, whether you are thinking about starting applications, whether you're in the interview process, or whether you're thinking about your next steps of your career and moving on. Hopefully these questions will help you and prompt you into further thinking. So the first question, and this is really connected to the idea of applying for a social work job, whether it's your first job or whether it is second or however many, I want to invite you to think about what you believe you deserve. What do you believe that you deserve from a job role? This is about your expectations and your boundaries. What do you deserve from a job role? And I go into this in far much more detail within the seminar, but if you go into a job application, if you're beginning the application and you don't believe or you haven't thought about what you deserve from that job role, you are more likely to take a job that is not set up to serve you. So what do you believe you deserve? Do you deserve flexible working? Do you deserve a particular wage? Do you deserve to be treated a certain way? Do you deserve a local authority that genuinely offers you CPD? That genuinely cares about anti-racism? I think you deserve all of those things. But you have to be specific about what you deserve, what you need from a job role. And I want you to think about those things before you even start applying, because it sets you up in a headspace of thinking, okay, yes, there are lots of people out there looking for jobs. And I need a job. I need a social work job. I would like a social work job. It's why I've done all this work. But what do I need from an employer? Get really, really clear on that off at the outset of what you need from an employer. Some of those things are emotional, some of those things are practical, but get really clear, what do you need from that employer and what do you believe you deserve? What is your mindset when you're going into this job application process? The second question that I want you to think about is connected to your job interview. So this is from the second seminar that I delivered, and I was talking all about setting yourself up for the interview process. And this is a question that will support you when you are a social worker as well, because it's all connected. And if you come to the seminars, what I do is connect everything with a social work journey. So even when you're applying for a job, when you're interviewing for a job, when you're thinking about changing a job, there are so many connections to social work. So the second question that I want you to think about, and what I want you to constantly ask yourself, is how did I work this out? What is the process? And that's because when you are at an interview and you are asked a question about a case study, or when you are asked a question about a potential scenario that you're going to have to deal with, the most important thing that you need to showcase is your process of thinking. Rather than focusing on an outcome, focus on your thought process. Think about if and when. If this happened, then I would do that. Or when this happens, I would do this. An interviewer, especially when you're thinking about a social work post, doesn't necessarily want you to arrive at a fixed outcome, because when you have a case study, when you have a scenario, it's always going to be oversimplified. You're never going to be able to say, well, this is exactly what would happen, because that's not social work, that's not how humans function. It's far more important to focus on the process. So ask yourself, how did I work this out? And that question you can hold on to when you are arriving at any kind of conclusion. You know, when you get offered your job and you have multiple jobs to choose from and you think, that's the job that I want. Well, how did you work that out? What's your thought process? We're inviting you to reflect. We're inviting you to reflect in the interview, but I'm also inviting you to reflect throughout your whole social work journey. If you arrive at a decision, rewind and think, how did I work that out? And that will serve you far better than just thinking about that outcome. Now, the third question This connects to the final seminar, and the final seminar was about moving on in your social work journey, because some social workers stay in their local authority for years and years and years, and some social workers don't. Some social workers go agency, some social workers are permanent. I have done both, and so I come at it from a perspective where I can understand the reasons why, the reasons for, the reasons against, for all those things. And the reason I'm sharing this, because at the time I didn't think it was that impactful, but in the final seminar, there were two lovely ladies who had come to the conference because they had both been in social work for, I think, over 30 years. And they were really interested about changing their career, and they felt like they wanted to move on, or they needed something different. And so I open all the seminars with slowing down, with focusing on the breath, with taking some time, with taking a pause. Just that moment of calm, because it can be a really busy day, it's really overwhelming. There are loads of local authorities and organisations showcasing their academy programmes and their offers for social workers, and that can be a lot. So it actually began with that calm and with that quiet, so people actually have space to hear their own thoughts. And one of the questions I invited people to ask, particularly if they were thinking about moving on in their career or moving on from a job, was, why? Why do you want to leave? And they said it to me after. They said, you know, it's such a simple question, it's such an obvious thing, but quite often we don't have time to sit down and answer those questions, or that question isn't directly put to us. And the reason why you need to think about why you want to move on is because sometimes a new job, a new role, a change will not be the answer. And you won't know that unless you think about why. And the example that I give is that some people think that they want to move on because their caseload is really high and it's extremely overwhelming and they are feeling burnt out. And it's not to say that those reasons aren't valid, but if you're moving from one children's service to another children's service, there probably isn't going to be a great deal of difference in the impact of the job role. So it's really important to think about, well, why am I moving? That's a very different reason than, you know, I'm moving house halfway across the country, and so practically I cannot be employed at the same place anymore. But when we're coming back to this idea of moving because of the work conditions, I just think it's really important to think about, well, will these conditions exist elsewhere? And actually, if I'm feeling that way, maybe it's not that I need to change where I work. Maybe it's a sign that I need to take some time off work. And actually I would return and I would know all the same sorts of things. I would be familiar with the environment, but actually my body has had a break, because a new job is not going to give you a physical break from the emotional stress of the job. And I think sometimes we get in our heads that we think it will, but it means we just go straight from one stressful scenario into another one. And it's very individual, but that's why I just invite people to think about their reasons why. And at the end of the seminar, these two lovely ladies, I wish I'd kept and remembered their names. I even took a little photo for them at the end of the conference, because they had their CPD certificates and their glasses of wine that you also get at the end of the conference. But they said, we don't actually want to move on. We thought that we did, and we were at a stage in our career where lots of people are talking about it or seeing other people doing different things. But actually, when we had that time to slow down and think, particularly after a day of hearing lots of noise about different jobs, we're actually quite happy, and we actually have a balance, and we've worked really hard, and we're so experienced. We can reflect on the fact that, you know, look at how much we know, look at how experienced we are, look at how we're helping other social workers. And they said that had they not had that time and space to think about it, and had they not had that question put directly to them, they just probably wouldn't have thought about that. They might have stepped into another job role and then not been as happy. And I just wanted to share that because it made me really happy, because I thought, well, it's worked. And the intention of that seminar wasn't to keep people in social work, and it wasn't to keep people in particular jobs. You know, if you want to move on, you want to move on. And there are lots of people who experience completely toxic environments at work, who have, unfortunately, managers who aren't supportive. There are people who experience racism and microaggressions at work, and no amount of what they do seems to solve that problem. You know, we know that there are a higher number of agency workers who are racialized as black, brown, who are part of the global majority, and it's because of that racism. So at no point would I ever say to people, absolutely stay in that toxic environment. It is just taking the time to think about why. Why do you want to leave? Because it comes back again, like a full circle to that first question. You have to understand why you want to leave. And when you understand why, you can start to think about, well, what do I deserve from a role? And I talked about this in the seminars as well. It isn't just about these individual job roles. If we are not as social workers thinking about what we need from a job and what we deserve, we're not even going to be in a place to ask for it. And if we're not asking for it, then we probably won't get it. And the more that social workers start to think about their rights as employees, their rights to flexible working, their rights to being treated with kindness and respect, the more it becomes a conversation, the more it becomes something that we ask for, I believe the more likely we are to get it. And that comes from a massive culture shift. So all these things do connect back to social work. You know, when I'm in these seminars talking about careers, I'm talking about ecological systems theory, because it's important, because everything is connected. And hopefully those three questions will have been helpful for you today, especially if you are at a stage where you're starting or thinking about making changes in your social work career. If it has been helpful, please, please let me know. I only know if these are useful if I get feedback from you. And I had some really lovely feedback from the seminars on the day. I'm really looking forward to delivering them again. If you're interested in me coming in to deliver those seminars for your university, for either social work students or apprentices, please get in touch with me. And if you are asking yourself those questions, you're making notes on it, if you're journaling on it, I would love for you to share some of your reflections as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like I said at the start, if you enjoyed it, if you took something from it, please take a couple of seconds to leave a rating or a review. I always love it when I hear back from you about the impact of the podcast, so feel free to email me as well. Anything specific mentioned in this podcast episode will be in the show note. And here are some reminders of how we can stay in touch, along with the ways that I can help you become a calm and confident social worker. Firstly, I have a free newsletter, The Space. This is a weekly email sent out to students and newly qualified social workers with curated links and recommended reading and listening that I know you will find useful in your newly qualified year. Secondly, I have an amazing membership, The Collective. This is an online membership for students and newly qualified social workers. When you join, you get access to a learning hub full of bite-sized video resources and downloadable e-guides. These are all specifically focused on the tasks, the policy, the legislation, the theory, and the practice skills that you need in your first year as a social worker. We have a private Facebook group where you can access a weekly Q&A thread for any questions, queries, or reflections that you have. Members are also invited to a monthly live Zoom call with me where we have a Q&A, but also take time for mindfulness, reflection, and meditation. The Collective is for students and newly qualified social workers who wants solution-focused, practical support, advice, and mentoring from me. If you align with any of the values of Social Work Sorted, if you are looking for realistic, practical advice, if you are a strengths-based and solution-focused person, if you often feel overwhelmed and crave resources that are bite-sized, digestible, easy to access, available for you to watch again and again, rooted in the practical skills but also underpinned by theory, then The Collective is for you. Head to the show notes where you'll find the link to join. Thirdly, I have ebook guides and video courses available for students and new social workers who are looking for support and clarity in specific area. The Child and Family Assessment Guide, the Home Visit Guide, Risk in Child Protection Masterclass, and a Home Visit Masterclass as well. Again, all the details are in the show notes. As well as all this, I am available to come and deliver training in person to your student or ASYE cohort, whether it's a skills day, part of an ASYE induction, a keynote speech, or a guest lecture. Please don't hesitate to get in touch with me for an informal chat to find out more. Thank you so much for listening. Like I do at the end of every single podcast, I want to encourage you to slow down and take a pause with me before you go on to the rest of your day. Close your eyes if it feels comfortable, or just soften your gaze. Take a couple of deep breaths and enjoy this moment of calm. Know that you can come back to this at any time you need to. Remember, you are doing an incredible job. Take care, and I'll see you for the next episode.